Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing. Always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true transparency pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Go down to Vegas. Our guy Todd Furman is up next. Todd, what's up, man? How are you?
Doing well, but you guys were the entertainment capital of this fine country over the last 4 or 5 days. Imagine it's with, you know, a little bit of bittersweet taste in your mouth that you say farewell to all those country music fans.
No, there's nothing bitter about it. Bye. It's good seeing you.
No, I love it. Don't even think about moving here.
I love it. And move here. I love it. No. I want our city to grow.
We're full.
See, look, I don't want to create a polarizing show for you guys in the next couple hours. I mean, it's amazing. I get on here for 30 seconds. I'm going to have each of you at each one another's throats.
No, we're happy to see him.
I mean, you're a country music guy. Why don't you come to CMA Fest?
Yeah, I am, but I'm also smart enough to know I don't want to jump into the fray with 200,000 country music fans that are around there. Nashville on any given weekend is enough country music for me, the same way that you probably won't see me at Stagecoach anytime soon either.
Man. Skirts and boots. There's a lot of that around here.
I mean, there's plenty of that, though, on any Thursday night during the year in Nashville. You don't need an influx of 200,000 additional, you know, that type of wardrobe attire.
That's good. So have you seen anybody famous now down in Vegas wagering away winnings from, winning an NHL Stanley Cup or an NBA World Championship?
No, I have not heard reports of any of that stuff. Obviously, the Washington Capitals, night after last Thursday, well chronicled, Alexander Ovechkin parading into Hakkasan nightclub with the Stanley Cup, which I'm hoping at this point, you know, almost a full week later, he's actually let out of his sight for more than 5 to 10 minutes. But all things considered, a pretty impressive turnout from the Caps fans for that Game 5 clincher. There was an awful lot of red, and they were definitely rewarded being the better team through that best of five series.
How did Vegas do on that little event?
In terms of the sports books
because I'm curious with Vegas involved.
No, I mean, I think when you look at the way all this stuff played out, sportsbook directors were more than happy to pay out those Capitals futures tickets. But it was one of those things that I think, you know, casino ownerships and management groups would have been more than fine knowing what a Stanley Cup would have meant to the city if the Golden Knights were the reason that they ended up losing 6 to 7 figures on a futures market. It would have been a much different story if we were talking about Calgary Flames ticket holders at 500-1 than the local boys potentially putting a real crimp in the balance sheets moving forward.
So the NBA gets probably 5 times the viewers as the NHL in terms of playoffs on television. What about from a wagering perspective?
It definitely does better as far as betting handle is concerned. Now, the Knights are kind of the outlier as far as hockey.
Right.
But at the same time, you look at the Golden State Warriors and the Cleveland Cavaliers. People want to be invested in those games. The one thing that gets tricky, though, and I think this is lost on a lot of recreational viewers, the bigger the point spread, the more it provides a deterrent for people looking to try and bet games, because recreational bettors, they don't want to run to the window and back the Cavs plus 10.5, 11. They can't quite wrap their head around that, exactly what it means, any more than they want to lay double digits. So the best case scenario, whether it's a Super Bowl or a marquee sporting event, the closer you are to a pick'em or, say, a field goal spread in football, that's oftentimes going to correlate to a much stronger betting handle.
Todd, were you surprised to see the Triple Crown happen?
You know what? I was a little bit disappointed, to be quite honest, Mickey. It felt like there were too many things manipulated and set up for Justify to be able to achieve this feat only a few short years after American Pharoah. When his stablemate Audible doesn't elect to run, and then they announce that the horse is yet somehow healthy enough to run the following week, it leaves me with a bittersweet taste in my mouth, just because I think if you're going to try and treat this as one of the ultimate achievements in sports, you want the best, most competitive field out there, and I don't really get the feeling that Justify had to go through the gauntlet outside of winning so many races in such a narrow period of time.
What about the blocking allegations? You know, that happens in NASCAR. People block for their teammates sometimes.
It definitely comes out, and I think you look at the 3 races. Justify had arguably some of the cleanest trips you're ever going to see in horse racing events of that type of financial windfall. There, I know it was a sloppy track, both at Churchill Downs and Pimlico, and then you look at the way things played out in the Belmont, gets out front, and it was pretty much all she wrote as soon as Justify broke from the gate. So for me, I know the horse racing community always excited when that happens, but I feel this one, if you're going to call it that, maybe has a little bit more of an asterisk by it than what we saw in 2015.
Let's talk soccer. How about that? 2026 odds, the World Cup soccer a game, a host city is Nashville?
I think there's a good chance. I think what we're going to see happen is any of these larger venues, especially ones that have an MLS presence, the Confederation's going to do everything in their power to give those cities a chance to host these events. Going to be tense times to see how many actual matches are there when you talk about the joint bid with old Mexico and Canada. Mm-hmm. I have to imagine U.S. cities are going to feature much more prominently, but it's going to be the logical spot. You're probably the Rose Bowl, a new football stadium in L.A. I'm anxious to see if Vegas and a billion-dollar stadium will get, you know, a couple of matches as well. But I think it's a step in the right direction. We can only hope that we can put a competitive product on the field by 2026. Thankfully, we won't have to worry about qualifying for that World Cup like we failed to do for the one that'll start less than 24 hours from now.
Who do you like in this upcoming World Cup? Who's going to blow the vuvuzelas of victory?
Yeah, I've seen tweets about you breaking down like Pool B 2.3. Yes. And like Todd's on it.
Yes. You know, Sports Illustrated wanted in-depth content. I can't really hold a torch to Grant Wall and the kind of coverage he provides them. So I try and stay in my own lane and look at some of the numbers that are there. I'm actually bullish on Spain, Mickey. And I know that dynamic changed quite a bit when they sacked their manager you know, less than two nights before their first match. But when you look at the level of professionalism they have on their roster, key contributors playing for the top clubs, not only in Spain, but in the rest of the world, I think if you kind of remove Germany and Brazil, which are the co-favorites, Spain offers the most compelling value. A team that's getting a lot of buzz as well, though, is actually Uruguay. They have the most favorable group draw. And then when you look at the way things can play out for them in the knockout stage, this team may be well constructed for a quarterfinal or semifinal type run.
I thought that same thing about Uruguay.
We just had that conversation. Yeah,
literally, that was our last two segments.
I actually want to know. I mean, if I set the over-under on 50, you know, let's call it 45 minutes of airtime, given the doldrums that are the summer season, how much time will you guys dedicate to talking World Cup over the next month or so on your airwaves?
Honestly, not much. I mean, the United States is not in it.
No, it's a fair thing, and I think the network, obviously Fox, not thrilled with the prospects of no USA in the mix, trying to market the Mexican side. You just have to hope that for all the progress that soccer has made with the growth of MLS and everything else, it doesn't set the whole dynamic and the whole train back. But I think 2026, that energy and enthusiasm may inspire the next wave of youthful talent to try and start playing soccer instead of some of the other sports that are out there.
Are there some amazing prop bets on the World Cup, like how many fires in the stands or anything like that?
I haven't seen a prop bet section for anarchy just yet or arrest outside stadiums. Now, if we're talking about things that will unfold on the pitch, over-under for red cards, 11.5. The World Cups, I believe, four of the last five have actually gone over that number. The always fun bet, will a team go scoreless in the World Cup? That's actually a slight underdog. You have three teams, Panama, Iran, and Saudi Arabia, whose over-unders are set at 1.5 goals scored there. And honestly, if you look at some of the European markets, I mean, they're really trying to do everything and then some, because it is the single largest sporting event that they'll do handle on every 4 years.
All right, dude, U.S. Open, 10-year anniversary of Tiger, you know, limping his way to his last.
Isn't he like the eighth highest favorite?
Yeah, he's listed at 20-1, and professional bettors looking to oppose Tiger in some of the head-to-head matchups. Interestingly enough, when you consider the liability he created for sportsbooks during the Masters, books aren't really sweating a Tiger victory. So I talked to one bookmaker. He said he'd love Tiger to win this major because it won't actually cost the money. It'll create some additional golf buzz. But Dustin Johnson, the odds-on favorite, betonline.ag, he's the only golfer out there at single digits, you know, at 9-1. And then you look at that tier where I really think the champion will come from, the Justin Roses of the world, the Ricky Fowlers trying to shed, for at least for Ricky's case, the tag of being the best player without a major. Jason Day, I think, is really rounded into form, you know, winning Torrey Pines and Wells Fargo, top five at the Players. But a guy I think that can add some value for those folks filling out their pools, Brandon Grace. Not quite the same bomber as the prototypical guys we've seen win the majors lately. More accurate than most, though. 15th on the tour in strokes gained putting, and a 33-1. I think he's a guy that can crash the party on Father's Day.
What about LeBron James? Let's get LeBron and Kyrie. Kawhi. Let's get LeBron and Kawhi to Philly, Todd, and Ben Simmons to San Antonio. What do you think?
I think it's going to be very interesting to see how this LeBron sweepstakes ultimately unfolds. If you believe the betting markets, early indications are, amid Dwayne Wade's comments and everything else, it'll end up in L.A. We've seen the Lakers go from 7-2, which probably had them listed as the third favorite, to odds on favorite. You have to put up $1.50 to make a dollar. But LeBron, in my opinion, realizes that this is the fourth quarter of his career. He's going to take meetings all over, and it wouldn't shock me at all if he ended up in San Antonio, knowing the relationship he's built with Pop for all those years on the national team, and a coach that he actually might respect, one that doesn't allow his players to throw soup at him.
Would Kawhi be there with?
I think that's the real question. Can those two coexist? And can, when I say coexist, I mean, can Kawhi repair the relationship with Pop that was rather strained? LeBron won't go where he's the only superstar. I think he knows he wants to try and surround himself with the best supporting cast as possible. So I'd have to imagine he would do everything to keep Kawhi there, maybe try and lure a Paul George or something along those lines. Philadelphia's number actually has drifted out. They were close to even money when those numbers opened. They're now right around 5-1. You try and figure out where LeBron would fit into that mix alongside Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid, and everyone else. I'm not sure Philadelphia becomes the ultimate landing spot for him.
He's the best in the business. He's Todd Furman, at Todd Furman on Twitter. If you have specific questions, maybe we didn't get to. Thanks,
Uruguay.
Todd.
Always a pleasure. Say that real fast 5 times, Mickey.
Hit it.
Uruguay, Uruguay, Uruguay.
He got to 2.5.
Yes.